Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who have come to realize that all of the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, filled with liars, that they are actually counterproductive, working against our interest, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you would like to join in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. We knew it was just a matter of time. Politicians never mean what they say. They never say what they mean. So more than a dozen states are now planning to cancel all health care policies that are not in compliance with the Obamacare Act in the coming weeks, affecting thousands of people just before the midterm elections. It looks like several hundred thousand people across the country will receive notices in the coming days and weeks that their policies are being canceled. Remember, the president said, if you like your doctor, if you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep it. We're just trying to get health care to those that currently can't afford it. Now, he lied. And then when he was pushed into a corner because hundreds of thousands of Americans couldn't get the plan renewed that they had previously had, a plan that they had chosen, a plan that was suitable for them. You know, for example, my wife and I don't have maternity care. She's had a hysterectomy. I've had a vasectomy. We really don't need maternity. You know, my wife and I have opted not to have a drug rehab as part of our plan. We don't do drugs. But you see, you can't have a plan that doesn't have those things because the Obaminator wants to give a Cadillac plan to those who can't afford it. Yeah, it's only a matter of time before they come up with a plan that says that, you know, it's not fair that people who have worked hard and have saved their money and are productive have nice houses. That you can have a house that you've designed or something that you've conceived and built. That's just not fair. Everybody ought to have the same right to the same kind of house. So let's take those houses away from people that chose a three-bedroom house on a lot where the kids can go out and play. That's not fair that they have them. Everyone should have the same thing. It's not fair that those who have been frugal and worked hard have a bank account, where those who have spent more than they have earned don't. Let's give everybody a bank account, and let's do so by taking the bank accounts away from those who have been prudent. You know, we ought not have choice in automobiles. Why should somebody have the luxury Cadillac and others have to drive the lowly Volkswagen? Oh, probably the Volkswagen now is probably better than the Cadillac. Cadillac's an American car. The Volkswagen's a German car. Bad example. Why should one family have a Lincoln Continental and the other family have a Chrysler? I mean, shouldn't we all just do the same thing? We all just have the lowly Chrysler? No, you can't choose. Even if you can afford to pay for it, your own health care plan, you can't opt for things that you want and things to, and opt out of things that you don't want because, oh, the great father, the Abominator himself, knows better. So even after promising twice now that you will be able to keep your plan if you like it and your doctor if you like it, forget it. Go away. Virginia, which is the state in which we have our health care plan, where we have provided health care for all of our employees for many, many, many years. And in fact, we offer our employees the same plan that we ourselves are on. We can't have that plan anymore. And of course, with the Obaminator, the cost of that plan tripled. The deductibles went up threefold. All for things we did not want. Congratulations. Government run amok. Never trust the government. So everyone in Virginia that has a health plan that is not in compliance with what the Obaminator has decided you need your SOL. Yes, you must comply with the National Father, the man who thinks that he, better than you, knows what is in your interest. He, the man who will tell you what you have to do with your own money. Now, I'm a little aggravated today. In the state of California, we are in a drought. And that would not be a problem if we had politicians who tended to their business. But we don't. Back, a few thousand years ago, like almost 5,000 years ago, civilization became civilization because civilized people learned that to have a civilization, the first thing that you need to do is to move water where there is plenty of it to places where it is needed. And then you can settle down and farm. You can produce livestock. You can produce a community of homes so long as you provide water. And so in Mesopotamia, we had all sorts of canals that were dug, all sorts of water delivery devices. The Greeks followed course. The Romans took this to an art form with their grand aqueducts. But in the United States, nah, we wouldn't want to be that smart, that prudent. No, we don't elect politicians here that do the right thing. We haven't built a canal in a very long time. And the canals we have are running dry because some environmentalist has decided that some ugly smelt that isn't even a decent bait fish in the San Francisco Bay needs less saline water. And so let's just have billions of gallons flushed into the bay to go out into the salt water rather than recognizing that we ought to be desalinizing salt water. But no, we're not even desalinizing salt water because in the state of California, we won't allow anybody to drill anymore. You know, the state has incredible oil and gas reserves off the coast. You could drill for all of them. It wouldn't change the topography at all. You'd have all of the energy in the world to desalinize salt water. But no, we won't do that either. We preclude it. So we preclude building new canals. We preclude desalinizing water because, we don't want to allow anybody to actually extract the oil that would produce the energy to do it affordably. We prevent nuclear power plants that could produce the energy to desalinize water cheaply. No, we don't want to do that any either. Let's prevent all progress. And then when somebody says, I'd still like to water my lawn. But no, you can't have water to water your lawn. I'm sorry. Well, then I'll figure out a way to distribute and hold that water. Now, the county that I have a house that I'm trying to sell, I would love to get out of the state of liberal morons of California. They've now passed an ordinance that says, no, you can't transport water. They won't transport it. And when industry figures out a way to do it, no, you can't do that either. All control freaks. All complete and utter failures at their own lives, now controlling the lives of others and making everything worse in the process. It is why government, from county to state to federal, is a farce. A bunch of incompetent buffoons. The health care is just one example. Speaking of buffoons, this is Dateline Jerusalem, so of course it begins with a mythical people. The buffoons themselves, the Palestinians. Of course, anybody who has done any study of history knows there is no such thing as a Palestinian. That some 3,000 years ago, there were a people group called the Philistines, and they weren't even a race. They were, in all likelihood, either Egyptians or they were Phoenicians. Don't really know which one. Not enough is known about them. They didn't have a written language. They didn't leave any monuments, any legacy, anything. They were a fairly belligerent group of people living in a place now called Gaza. And they left no legacy, no national identity, no racial identity, no written history, no nothing. The Philistines are only known because they're chronicled in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. Otherwise, they would be unknown to civilization because, as it turns out, the Philistines were wiped out by the Assyrians. I mean, killed to the last. Not a single Philistine survived. No city, no town, no national identity, no racial identity, nothing. They ceased to exist. So, the notion that there is a Palestinian in a place called Palestine is the myth of morons. If you have to promote a people called Palestinians and a place called Palestine, then you are simply a parrot parroting rubbish. Well, this journalist says that the Palestinian demonstrator, speaking of a mythical people, I don't know why he couldn't just say Muslim demonstrators, clashed with Israeli police at a sensitive holy site, oh my God, in Jerusalem, leaving three policemen injured. The clashes erupted after several dozen masked Palestinians, why don't we just call them masked Muslims? Why were they wearing masks? Because what they were doing was illegal. Because when you know what you're doing is wrong, you try to mask your identity. That's why. It's really not difficult. Does a robber wear a mask? Yes. Would two people walk into a bank and one is wearing a mask and the other is not? Which one is more likely going to steal from that bank? Well, these Muslims were wearing masks, and they began throwing rocks, firecrackers, and other pyrotechnical devices at police, unprovoked. Now, if only the rest of the Muslim world were that way, throwing rocks, firecrackers, and other pyrotechnical devices.
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan, period.
And Islam means peace. And the Islamic State is not Islamic. Oh, period. When politicians lie as a matter of habit, when their actions are all counterproductive, taking away from people freedoms, controlling people counterproductively, and lying in the process, declaring war based on lies, and that becomes commonplace. When do all of the American people finally wake up and say, I don't want any association with these bums? Now, I think there's like 40% of you out there that still support the Abominator. They think he's a really swell guy. And yet, everything he says to you is a lie. Everything he does is counterproductive.
Everything he does takes away part of some freedom.
Yes, it does.
Some bit of choice that you have. Me personally, I don't want a Cadillac plan. Mainly because I can't afford it. So I'll stick with the smaller one. And plus, I'm rarely ever sick.
Right.
So it doesn't. Robin and Neil, Neil's on Robin's plan, and they, you know, she has a better plan because of him. But I don't want that. I don't need that.
Here's the reality in America. There are two groups of people that are prohibitively expensive. The primary group are those in their late 70s and 80s. And in America, we spend somewhere in the range of 80 to 90% of our entire healthcare budget and cost, prolonging the last year or two of life. That's stupid. That really is stupid. We ought not be doing that, particularly with public funds. And the second is for people who have made poor life choices and are either obese, they have chosen to smoke, they have done drugs, they don't exercise, and they're chronically sick. Public ought not be responsible. If you're obese, tough. If you can take care of yourself, great. If you want to be, you know, as fat as a doorway, that's your call. Just don't ask the public to cover your health care costs. You know, if you think that a Twinkie is as good as an apple, have at it. Freedom. Just don't ask the rest of us to cover your stupidity. You want to do drugs? You want to smoke? You want to drink yourself? Silly. All your choice. But don't ask anyone else to bear the cost of your poor choices. And that's what the Obaminator is all about. He wants healthy people that are making good choices to pay an abnormally high price for health insurance that they don't need and that they don't want and that they can't afford. But too damn bad, they've got to pay far more than is appropriate so that those who healthcare is expensive because of choices they have made can get it at a price that's way under what it should cost. And then on top of that, to have the government subsidize it. When you reward failure in life, you get more failure. When you provide benefits for unemployment, when you provide benefits for people who didn't plan their retirement, when you provide health care for those who are irresponsible regarding their health, and you do it as a matter of practice, you're doing the same kind of a thing that America did with this idiot that came into Dallas with Ebola. The third worst thing that possibly could have happened is that somebody with Ebola, knowing that they have Ebola, leaves Liberia to head to the United States to infect those on the airplanes that he flew and his own family as well as those at three different schools. The second worst thing that could have happened is that he be taken into a hospital and cared for. The third, the worst thing that could have happened is for him to have lived. Because all of those things contribute to more people who know they have Ebola taking the same immoral choices that he did all along the way. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. A human society ought to care for those who are unable to care for themselves. Orphans. We ought to make care for orphans vastly better than it is. For those who lost jobs and have been unable to get a new job and lost their house as a result, we ought to provide housing. Not housing that they own, but public housing. For those willing to work in the kitchen, willing to work in the housing, public housing, we ought to provide food. Plenty of clothes to go around, no problem providing clothes. But if that same individual is an alcoholic, the hell with them. Sorry. That's a life choice you made. Give up the alcohol, and we'll work you into the system so long as you're willing to be responsible. If you're there because you snorted way too much coke Too bad. But to give people food stamps who are obese, to give people federally subsidized housing, which they destroy, to provide people welfare who are unwilling to work, destroys their character, destroys the very fabric of that society. It is counterproductive. It's like taking care and spending millions of dollars to resolve the health care of the Liberian, which will just cause more Liberians to say, boy, if I can only get on an airplane and get to America, they'll take care of me.
Yeah, and especially since the stuff they provide is usually better.
Of course.
It starts out better than what somebody that has to work for all their stuff.
You know, I own airplanes, and so I charter my airplanes. And the highest payer, the best possible client you can have for a charter airplane, is the jail systems and prison systems in most states. Because if a prisoner has a ailment, typically for their own bad choices, you know, drugs, alcohol, that sort of thing, terrible lifestyle. If a prisoner has an ailment, they are flown by private jet to the best hospital in the country for that particular ailment. And they'll spend $100,000 just on transportation. Yeah, we are really screwed up as a society.
What happens to you if you have an ailment, Craig?
I'm going to tell you, no one's going to pay for a private jet for me. I'm going to tell you that for sure.
And if
I wanted to go to the hospital that is under the plan that the Obaminator chose for me, then, you know, after I pay my deductible, I can get the health care that they're willing to provide.
There's people that can't even afford ambulance rides. That they get in accidents and they say, no, I'll just get a ride there. I don't want to take the ambulance because the ambulance charges so much. And there's people that fly around that have committed crimes.
Right. In prison.
And they're
in private
prison,
jets.
And they're getting
in private jets.
I'm probably never going to be on a private jet in my life.
Yeah.
All you
have to do is commit a heinous crime, be in prison, and get sick because you're maybe an alcoholic, and you can get a ride in a private jet. Maybe you can get a liver transplant.
I'll pass
on that, too. By the way, you know, I read a lot of stories here about how America is sad that the idiot that, knowing he had Ebola, came into the United States and infected family members, neighbors, school children. And then hospital workers, and ultimately died of Ebola. And so sad that he died. No,
his own kid too.
Yeah, it would have been sad if he had lived, because it would have encouraged more to come here. But the reports all say, well, he got Ebola helping a pregnant woman. Bull. Do the math. Think. What is the incubation period for Ebola? It's 21 days. We've been told it's 21 days 100 times already. All right, no symptoms. Typically, for the first 21 days, he carried the girl in the taxi cab 5 days before he left from Liberia. The brother of the woman who was the other side of the girl died within 2 nights of that event of Ebola. The girl herself died that same night. 4 days later, he was puking his brains out and was trying to get admitted into the hospital. That's less than half of the time of the incubation period. He contracted Ebola 2 weeks prior to helping his landlord's daughter, as did the landlord's son. He contracted Ebola 3 weeks before helping that girl. Do the math.
Who really cares who he was helping? Pregnant woman,
you know,
old lady across
the street? I know, but still, you know, there's this feeling that, well, he was trying to do a humanitarian thing, and it's not his fault that he got it. Well, the fact of the matter is, he did not get it helping the pregnant woman who died that very night, because 5 days later, He had checked out of the country, and 4 days after that, he was in full Ebola mode. It doesn't happen that fast,
folks. Not before he went and saw his son at his son's school.
Yeah, the son who died the following night. And he probably contracted Ebola very close to the same time, and it was at least 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks earlier. And he knew he had Ebola. He came for the treatment he thought he would get in America and the drugs that he thought he'd get in America. And he got the treatment and he got the drugs. And he died after affecting his family and others. This is not a heart-wrenching story. This is a story of stupidity.
His actions do not come across as somebody that was a victim.
No, he is not a victim.
And that's why people, you feel sorry for victims. This guy is not a victim. This guy is,
right.
He deliberately did something. He made a choice. And then not only did he not go to the hospital right away or tell the people when he was trying to fly here that he had been in contact with it.
He lied.
He lied. And then he went to his son's school. He came here, and he goes directly to his son's school. Mm-hmm. Now, that is not an action of a victim. That is somebody that is the act of
an immoral moron.
Person. Yes.
Yep.
And anybody
an
that has
moron.
Any sympathy for them,
no.
They're morons as well.
That's correct. Now, I was talking about in the end of the previous section that it's too bad that the rest of the moronic Muslims in the world aren't throwing rocks, firecrackers, and other pyrotechnical devices. And if America would stop selling weapons to them and giving weapons to them, that's where they would be. And if they were just throwing rocks and firecrackers, they'd be killing far fewer people than they are now with surface-to-air missiles, tanks, artillery, attack helicopters. At this point, they're as well-armed as the folks that are fighting them because of the weapons we have given them, which has really aggravated the situation. But the mythical people known as the Palestinians, in other words, Muslims, on the Jewish Temple Mount, Yahweh's Temple Mount, the Temple Mount and Jerusalem, started throwing rocks at them. Now, this site, it says, known to Jews as the Temple Mount. No, it's known to the world as the Temple Mount. It was the Temple Mount more than 1,600 years before Islam was even invented. For 1,600 years before Islam was invented by Muhammad, it was the Temple Mount. 1,000 BCE. 1,000 years before that, it is where Yahweh took Abraham onto Mount Moriah to confirm the covenant. To pretend that this is anything other than the Temple Mount. To say that it is known to one group as the Temple Mount and something else to somebody else is to be irresponsible in your journalism. And to Muslims, they say, as the noble sanctuary. There's no noble sanctuary in Islam. The reason that there is a shrine and a mosque on top of the Temple Mount is because Satan, who is Allah, is absolutely devoted to the idea that he has to be greater than Yahweh. And if Satan can build his most holy shrine on top of the most important place in the world for God, then in his sick and distorted mind, he rises above the Most High. That's all Islam exists to achieve. Allahu Akbar, to make Allah greater than Yahweh. That's the basis of Islam. If you do not understand that, then you have not thoughtfully read the Quran and Hadith. There is nothing in Islam that is noble. The Aska Mosque and the Dome of the Hoofy Print exist because Muslims loyal to Satan, who's Allah, wants to do an injustice to others so that they can stand above them. The only way that Islam ever rises is to crush the people below it. It's why Muslims want to build a mosque near the site of 9/11. It's the very attitude of this reprehensible disease. It is really no different than the Romans under Hadrian, deciding that the best way to irritate Jews was to build a temple to Hadrian and another to Jupiter, right on top of the Temple Mount, and then rename the place from the province of Yehuda to Philistia, after the people that were the enemy of Israel, only known through the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. But my friends, if the Torah, prophets, and Psalms are right, then the Muslims are wrong. There was no immediate information on how many people were hurt by the Muslim protesters. They write Palestinian here, but they're Muslims. Police chased the demonstrators towards the Al-Aqsa Mosque, that's the furthest mosque, where they barricaded themselves inside and continued hurling objects in the direction of the police. These are just slime. We ought to quarantine the Muslims. She said that at least one Molotov cocktail was thrown at the police, but it failed to ignite. The site is the holiest in Judaism. You know, why not just tell the truth? The site is the most important in the world. It is the most important place to Yahweh. He just happens to be God. From a Judaism point of view, they've actually worked the temple out of the religion. Rabbinic Judaism doesn't need a temple because it's really not Torah observant. So all they really have is their head bobbing prayers at the wall on the western side. It was one of the reasons why General Dayan, when he successfully rescued much of Israel from Muslims, stupidly gave the Muslims control over the Temple Mount, allowed them to stay there, as opposed to wipe it clean of the Islamic disgrace. Because Rabbinic Judaism, he happened to be an atheist, I think, but Rabbinic Judaism has no interest in the temple. They've eliminated it from their repertoire. Now, it says here it's the third holiest in Islam. You know, that's misleading. From an Islamic point of view, the only place that is important to them is Mecca, because that's where the rock pile called the Kaaba, that had all the rock gods, is, and that's where they go and pretend to be pagan and go circumambulate it, as pagan Arabs did for centuries before Muhammad. The Hajj and the pilgrimage and the Kaaba are all pagan religious artifacts existing hundreds upon hundreds of years before Muhammad turned them into a ridiculous monotheistic religion. But that's really it. Medina is where Muhammad declared war on all humankind, but there's nothing holy about Medina. As a matter of fact, Medina is where Muhammad proved to be untrustworthy. It's where he was so savage. It's where he took three quarters of the population and annihilated them, perpetrated genocide on the Jewish population of Medina. Medina is where Muhammad took in one day 900 men and boys and decapitated them in front of their mothers and wives and sisters. Medina is where Muhammad allowed the Muslims to play a game of lots to determine who they got to rape. Medina is where the heads of those Muhammad decapitated that day are still buried in a trench under the marketplace. Medina is where all of the Jewish property representing 75% of the population was stolen. Medina is the place where all of the Jewish children were enslaved. Medina is the place where all of the Quran's declaration of war surahs were revealed. If that's holy from your point of view, then I suggest you have a hole in your head. Now, as for the third holiest site in Islam, the only reason that Muslims give two hoots about Jerusalem is that because the Quran is the most anti-Semitic book ever written, worse than Hitler's Mein Kampf. And the reason that Muhammad turned on Jews, and therefore Muhammad's God turned on Jews, was because they had what Muslims wanted, and Muslims needed, Muhammad needed a justification for annihilating them, for stealing their property, for raping their women, for enslaving their children, and for murdering their men. And so if he had his God say that they're deserving of those things, that their God hates them too, then he was justified in his belligerence. That's the basis of Islam. So on one night, when Muhammad was down on his luck, when he was being laughed at by those who knew him best, he imagined that he got on a winged ass, and he flew the winged ass from Medina, or Mecca, as in this particular case, all the way to Jerusalem. And he had a meeting in the non-existent temple.